It's episode 1092. Goodness gracious. It's a relevant podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, is Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
And both Jamie and Derek are just too busy today. So guess who's joining us once again?
Yay.
Our very own, our friend, Marty from Social Club Misfits.
The guys, everyone else got COVID. I'm here to help you guys out. We're good to go.
Yeah.
Happy to be six string. I'm happy to be over.
Six string are two different things.
Six man and second string, I guess. You know, whatever makes you sleep at night.
No, it's not. Marty, I think you got the wrong perspective here. If you remember, think about the Oklahoma City Thunder back in the day.
Think about the Oklahoma City bombing. You know, like there's
You had KD and Westbrook. You had Harden come off the bench. It wasn't because he was more valuable, because they need a spark plug every once in a while. Manu Ginobili. He's got two fists full of rings.
Yeah,
I know. It wasn't because
I saw,
he wasn't
I
integral.
Saw the 30
it
was, for 30, Jesse. You can't change this mood that I have.
Well, hold on. Speaking of mood, real quick.
Yeah.
Your shirt is a mood. And for people that are listening.
If you're just listening and you can't see this right now, I'm holding a shirt that has George Costanza. He's pointing at the camera with a Supreme shirt on. It's just the summer of George, ladies and gentlemen. Summer of George. That's all that matters. And if you don't know what summer of George is, you know, get some friends.
Let me ask you this, because Summer of George is a vibe. It is a mood. It is one of the iconic moments from one of the iconic sitcoms. For people who don't know.
Yes.
Who are too young to know.
Yeah.
George Costanza got laid off from his job. I think he was working for the Yankees.
Yes,
I think this is before the Play That's Now
right.
story arc.
That's exactly right. That's
Either
right.
way, he gets laid off from the Yankees, and he realizes that he has 3 months of severance pay that align with the 3 months of summer.
And instead of working, he decides we just have this summer of the lifetime, which is the summer of George.
That's right. And he declares it the summer of George, which I think it mostly comprised of him sitting in a recliner in sweatpants and eating potato chips and learning frisbee golf.
Yeah. You got it. Honestly, Jesse, that was like the best synopsis of this. I couldn't have said it better. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, but let me ask you this, Marty. How are you living your own summer
exactly
of George?
Right.
We're in August now.
Well, I mean, if you're watching us right now, you can see I have this white Jesus cup in my hand.
You do have a white Jesus
shout
cup.
Shout out to... Yeah, it is a white Jesus cup. You know why?
It's because... Hold on. Double white. It's a white mug and also a white Jesus.
And
so
white,
it's a white...
Mary and Joseph.
White Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So my in-laws, we got a couple cups from them. I don't know why. Like, I steal stuff. I just do that. I stole... They steal stuff, too. That's the thing. Like, they have a cup from, like, TJ Fridays in their house. You know how, like, a kid, they just take it out when you, like, leave? Like, kids sometimes steal stuff. They have stuff there that I know they stole. and so this one is 100% from the Buena Park Catholic Church, which is a Latin church. This is funny because all these people just look straight up.
Irony.
Like, Cracker Barrel.
White.
Yeah, Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
So, but it's so funny because like they're so innocent and so sweet and they love Jesus so much, but you know they steal mugs. Yeah, either they stole this or this could have been, hey, this is your first Sunday and just take this mug of Mary, Martha, and Jesus, which it's very Catholic because you could see the little like ring around Jesus's blonde hair.
Oh yeah, the blonde hair.
Very blonde.
Now,
yeah,
you know, I can't. I have no way to confirm this fact. Well, I'm sure I can easily Google it, but I'm not going to. But I heard one time, from a loss prevention perspective, that one of the most stolen items out of any establishment is those wooden handled steak knives from Outback Steakhouse.
I've heard that too. I have a friend. Yes, I've heard that too. There's two things that I've heard. That was and there's something. Olive Garden, believe it or not, that people steal as well.
Breadsticks.
I don't know what it is.
But I'll tell you, if I show up to your house and you're like, hey man, I'm pulling some steaks off the grill, or even if we're just eating something that requires a serrated blade, and you're like, here you go, you can use this, and you hand me...
You use the Outback. You can
that
have
is
the
a
Outback.
Flex right there.
I love that.
I guarantee you, if we went around the board right now, none of us on here, I'm just venturing to guess, have been to Outback in years, and probably have only been a couple times ever, but the one thing we would remember instantly if we held in our hand was the Outback steak. It's a great flex.
I went a year and a half ago And it was because, like, I realized I hadn't been in like 10 years. Mm. And I was like, you know, I want an Outback meal. Jesse, it is so good there. Like, everything was delicious. Well, everything was wonderful. It was incredible.
Emily, when is the last time you visited an Outback Steakhouse, if
also,
ever?
I went at 10:30 p.m. on a Thursday after helping a friend move, and we were sweaty and exhausted and hungry. It was great.
This is getting sadder and sadder. I'll say 2007, maybe. I have this memory. I think it was like after a middle school basketball game. Like, we had to go to a restaurant, and I, for whatever reason, I think we convinced our coach to take us to Outback, and we never went again for obvious reasons. No offense,
Marty,
to Outback
lovers.
Marty, you have
switched over. Marty, you have switched over from your white mug to a white shake.
Yeah, this is
your double-fisting beverages.
Yeah, double-fisting, double-fist Marty is in the building right now. Hurricane Marty's here.
You got a white hat that says Amen on it. You are...
Yeah.
You got a whole thing going on today.
While you guys were talking, I was Googling what gets stolen from restaurants. Guess what's the number two thing getting stolen?
Tell us.
Cracker Barrel, those little triangle games.
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely. I've stolen those.
I'm guilty red-handed, to be completely honest with you. And then you go to other tables and you're like, what? My pieces are all broken in half. Can I switch them out? And you start doing
Can I be honest? That one seems like even worse to me, because I'm pretty sure they sell it in the gift shop. So it's basically like shoplifting.
It's not even like shoplifting.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if they had, if at the counter, right, like where you like check in and you get to where the hostess seats you, or the host seats you at an Outback, right? If they had a little display on that little podium, right, with just a display of steak knives that you could purchase, I guarantee you people would purchase them rather than steal them. But the only mechanism we have. But the thing with those golf tee games is there is a gift shop you have to walk through, a Cracker Barrel, that sell them right there. Why steal them from the table? The greasy ones with gravy all over.
How much are they? Like,
they're like $3. They're not expensive at all. No,
they're not expensive. Yeah.
That's a wood game. It's a wood game. Like, made out of wood and like plastic. It's just wood.
Marty, you said that's the second most stolen.
Yeah.
What else is on this list?
Is it the tag from Whataburger? Because I used to steal those in high school.
You know, it's funny. Okay, so I have to find the article again in my history. But the funny part about it is that, you know how like lists always go to like 10? It's like 11 things stolen from, like, they had to squeeze so much things that were stolen that 11 things that are commonly stolen from restaurants and stuff like that. Yeah. A lot of it's like cups and stuff, like Pizza Hut cups, stuff like that on it. And it's funny because
the red plastic was the bump.
That's what we have
in your dishware from restaurants.
We have that. I have it in the it's like unbreakable. I don't know if you know, like, their cups are unbreakable, so like we just throw it on the ground constantly, and that's what happens in our house.
Real talk. I'm glad this came up. Speaking of items you get from restaurant, took my family to a minor league baseball game Saturday night. Great time. Ended up being
Outback Steakhouse at like 10:30 at night or something.
Yeah, hey, thank you.
Was it on
thank
a Wednesday?
It was a delicious, amazing meal. It was
reservation.
Great.
Because it gets quite busy on Wednesday.
Emily, go to Outback and come back and report. I don't even know where one is.
I don't know if they still are around.
One, it's AAA, not like double or single. Two, it's the best team in AAA right now. Shout out the Tides. Shout out Norfolk Tides. Double sellout. It was the
best middle school, high school team in our region.
They have the number one prospect in all minor. Anyway, I'm not going to argue about this. Beautiful stadium, downtown Norfolk, props to the Tides. We get there, it's unexpectedly, because of a rain delay, a doubleheader, okay? So it's 5 in the evening, and both games are sold. It's a double sellout, okay? It is popping, but the food lines are impossible. You can't get anything anywhere in the stadium. But I'm there from like 5 to like 11 o'clock at night. So we're on the way home, everyone's starving. Pull into Taco Bell, late night Taco Bell. I got my family and another family in the car. We pull through the Taco Bell line. I got a bunch of kids and everything. We order our tacos, and I tell the dude, I'm like, hey man, I need a bunch of mild sauce and a bunch of Diablo. Don't know if you guys have Diablo. My dude, I don't know if it's because it's late night and he and they're about to close up, or he just does not care anymore. He gives me an entire, you know, like the bags with like reinforced handles. Yes. like at a Taco Bell. Like they have the standard bag where they just hand you your tacos. Then they have the big grocery paper bag with the reinforced handles.
Can I be honest with you? I've never ordered so much at Taco Bell that I got the extra large bag.
And then you're doing it wrong. Anyway, he loads that.
You're doing it
he
wrong.
Loads that. He loads that thing to the brim. Where, I'm telling you, I have more Taco Bell.
Couldn't
salsa.
Care less about his job. That's
I have
amazing.
Like $40 worth of Taco Bell salsa. I've been That's using amazing. It. I've been using it on everything. I made two Diablo omelets this week. Thanks
Whoa,
to that.
That sounds
thanks to my
dope.
Dude.
That sounds good.
It was so
sounds
good.
Does it? Does it sound good?
A little Diablo.
It sounds as good as
a little Diablo. You know, taking the sauces and using them for personal use. Honestly, if it was my mom, she'd probably like open each of them and put them in like
a bottle?
Another bottle from another company and just like, hey guys, we have new hot sauce now.
Dude, Marty, you're blowing my mind right now. I'm going to do that and I'm going to put like a fan, like some bougie label on it. And when people come over, be like, hey, you got to try this hot sauce, man. I spent
Trust.
Like, yeah, I spent like $40 at some salsa boutique. And I'm like, psych, it's Diablo.
And it all started by you checking out this 17-year-old stellar Asian Japanese player in this AAA team, Akira.
Oh my gosh, I was like, I didn't know where you're going with that. Okay,
it started with checking out Haru. And
That's
now
right.
You guys are getting sauce.
That's right.
Amazing.
If I
I'm
didn't
all for
care,
those, I'm all for those baseball games.
If I didn't care about the prospect game, okay,
yeah.
It was sold out. Double
support
header.
Local. Yeah,
sold out doubleheader. I had a great evening,
oh
guys.
My gosh.
Support local. Go to Taco Bell.
It was
and get
a tough night.
Diablo
I was talking about tough night, but a great night.
And I took a train. Like they have a train that goes into the stadium, dude. It's a great experience.
That's cool.
What? Wait, what?
Yeah.
What? There's a train.
It's called.
Wait, like Silver Spoons, like in the 80s, where like he rode in on
no.
a train around
like
the house?
Like the beginning of Good Times, and the train
no,
starts circling around Chicago?
Look, Cameron, you were recently in my area.
I have driven by the stadium you're talking about on
there
the interstate.
There is a train that has stops.
That's cool.
That has stops all the way, like from 3 miles from my house all the way to the stadium, which stadium's like 10 miles away. And you can park your car right there, and they just drive you right in. It's great.
That's cool. That's
I know.
Cool. It's like
okay,
Disney,
then.
Cameron. Let's compare it to
exactly.
Disney because Cameron's in Orlando. You know the hotel right. that has the thing in the middle of the.
Yeah, the monorail goes right down the middle of it.
It is
contemporary.
It is just like that. That's how they get people to go to the games. How else? Why else does people go to minor league games? They got a train that goes through town that just picks people up and brings them. And it's
wait,
free.
Jesse, is this called commuter rail? Like, is this just normal transit in your area, but you think it only goes to the baseball stadium?
It
or
ends,
does it only go to the baseball stadium?
The last stop is the baseball stadium. Like, it
right.
is made, like, final destination is the stadium, okay? That was why they made it. And you know what? They did
the
a great job.
The third stop is Bada Bing Strip Club. The fourth one's the stadium. The second one is luggage. And the
that's
first
right,
one is
that's right.
they gotta get
Jesse's
that and on nights that the Tides games there's no tickets, you just walk right on, there's no fare. It's literally part
that,
of the reason
I
they
love
made
doing
it.
Stuff like that. I love a hot dog in the middle of a Thursday, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Go to the game, get
yeah.
a hot dog with the family,
great night. Train ride,
put some
baseball,
stolen Taco Bell sauce
Taco
on it.
Taco Bell
yeah.
and
Diablo
and lifetime supply of Diablo right in the pantry right now.
All right, well, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to Jesus Culture. They have a new album out. They're one of our favorite worship bands. What, Emily? You were going to say something?
No, I'm just laughing at this. It always cracks me up. Like the beginning of our conversation or the beginning of the episode, and then it's like this like well loved worship artist is coming on.
Yeah.
Also,
and we apologize to Derek Johnson of Jesus Culture for everything.
I want to be on record. I want to be on record. I apologize for nothing, Derek.
that's actually a pretty funny skit. It's like we just start joking. We're talking about the stupidest thing, whatever. And then you're like, all right, guys, we also have Muhammad Ali's
President
daughter here
Barack
tonight.
Obama.
Yeah.
Literally, President
serious.
Barack Obama was on this podcast after that type of content. So it's like,
we have Jerry Lewis, and he's going to be promoting muscle dystrophy tonight. But thank you for staying on the
peace.
Podcast. Yeah.
Rest in peace to Jerry Lewis from about 1998. I think he passed away.
By the way, you guys hear
all
about
right,
Dick
here we
Van
go.
Dyke? Marty, real quick.
Okay.
Real quick, Marty. Did you know Dick Van Dyke floated out to 3 miles out in the ocean until he couldn't,
okay,
sleeping on a surfboard,
okay,
and was rescued by dolphins? It's a true story. It happened.
Stop. Okay.
For real?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No,
Google
listen.
It.
Five episodes ago, Jesse brought this up as an underreported news story that everybody should be talking about. Dick Van Dyke is 19. Yeah. He's 99 years old. We're 99 years old. 7 years ago when he was 92, Jesse says, nobody's verified this, Jesse
Marty
says
can
he
verify
went on
it right
to.
Now.
I'm looking at it right now. There's tons of stories. Oh my God.
Okay. He apparently was out paddleboarding in the ocean, fell asleep on the paddleboard, floated out to sea.
Pod
so far,
dolphins.
He could not see land. And Jesse says that Dick Van Dyke claims that when he was 3 miles out at sea, a pod of dolphins took him back to shore and saved his life. Jesse's been talking about this for about 5 episodes in a row. So
yeah,
I'm
looking at some articles right now about it. And That's at the Atlantic. Is the Atlantic.com, is that trustworthy?
The Atlantic?
It's a paywall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Atlantic is, you don't get, that's top of the pyramid with trustworthiness, yeah, really? In my opinion.
There's an ad for a sex pill. I don't know if that tells you the type of ads that they're getting on the Atlantic.
That's, Marty, I'm sorry to tell you, that's the Google ad network, and it has cookies, and it tracks your web search history. So
really,
you're seeing ads based on your web surfing.
That's amazing. The first ad I have is Golda with Helen Mirren, and it's based on a true story. And then on the right of it, it's you know, meet people in your area. I mean, I don't know what type of I feel like I'm on Twitter right now.
That's a Marty specific ad collection that you're seeing right now.
Why am I unrelevant and I'm seeing the same thing?
We actually had to shut that network down, dude. This is true. We used to have Google Ad Network on our site for a couple of the spots,
really,
and we would get emails from time to time from people just incredulous and offended that they were on our site and they saw an inappropriate ad, and we gladly wrote back to them and told them that those cookies that those ads they're seeing are based on their own browsing history.
Wow.
That is not about our site. That is about your internet usage. So, yeah.
I shouldn't have made that joke because now it seems like I have sex on my page and that's not what it was.
And Helen makes
I think
Mirren.
Google just knows, like, people who are searching this Dick Van Dyke story 10 years out probably have some pretty deviant stuff in the background.
Jesse, maybe the algorithm only looked at the first word of his search. Sure. You know,
either way, the moral of the story
right there,
is
I pressed enter.
It has been officially fact checked, and
I just put his name. And I put stories afterwards. That's probably why.
Oh, there you
again.
Go.
Yep. Thank you, Jesus again. Culture, for joining us for this episode.
With your new song, Come to the Altar, Purification. We all need to get redeemed.
All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's Relevant Buzz. You're listening to Bennett Coast. The song is Now I Know You. Sounds ominous. Not sure what's next after college? Ready to step out of your comfort zone and into something meaningful? Check out the Global Ambassador Program from ELIC. You'll spend 9 months, September to May, on a team of passionate people just like you in Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan. You'll grow through mentorship, take language classes, immerse yourself in a new culture, and teach English to the local community, all while building real-life skills and making a real impact. Sound good? Head to elic.org/relevant to learn more. Again, that's elic.org/relevant. All right, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
We are going to start off by talking about Dante Bo, who is currently facing some backlash for his new music, which is much different than what he was dropping with Mav City. So last
tell me
year
about
was
this, because did I tell you guys about the tour? Okay, never mind.
Tell
me
us.
Go there.
Let's no,
go.
You tell
Emily,
us.
You go first.
No. Hold on. Do we need the context prior?
Yeah, we need context. Yeah.
Dante is great. I was about to go on tour with Dante a couple months ago. Okay. And then there was another controversy, too. And then the tour got shut down.
Oh, the IG controversy?
Yeah,
of
I don't
him
even know what happened
the,
there. I reached out to him. No one told me anything. So maybe Emily Brown maybe has...
Well,
downtown
we'll
Emily Brown has some stories.
Okay. All right. I am very aware of libel laws. So I will tell you in the most official media way possible, Dante Bo on Instagram sent what he thought was a private DM to another person. He accidentally posted it on his story, and it was a photo of him in a various stage of being unclothed in a kind of compromising position.
Is this real? And, this really happened?
This really happened around midnight one night, and by 7 or 8 a.m. the next morning, Mav City had posted he's no longer with our organization.
Did he leave it and up for a long time? Like, did anybody screenshot it?
It was down, it was down within a minute, and a lot of people screenshotted it. And so that's kind of how it spread. And so that happened.
I thought it was because he liked Justin Bieber.
Maybe he does.
Because he said that they were pissed off at him for saying that. He was like, I like, I'm really excited to see this guy and this guy. And they were like, what? You know, people got upset. Like, he's here to see Bad Bunny. People were upset about it. I thought it was something like that. I didn't know it was.
Okay. No, it was a little bit more than that. But hey, it broke him off the worship thing, and he did his secular R&B album as an outgrowth of this transition.
R&B album?
So Emily. Sorry. He did drop. No, you're good. He parted ways with Mav City after all of that. They are no longer together. We'll say that. But he did announce that he would be pursuing his own music, and that it would be a different sound. He didn't really give at first. He didn't really give a ton of like example or clarification what that meant. But
people thought bluegrass. They were just assuming hard Dolly Parton country.
Yeah, exactly. But earlier this summer he dropped his self-titled album, and it. There are some elements of like gospel worship in there, but there's a lot of R&B and hip hop mostly. And that's where a lot of the controversy has come. Cause he actually released a music video for one of his songs, Wind Me Up. And the music video is, there's like a party vibe going on. There's women dancing,
twerking.
And really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for all like for any other R&B artist, it is fairly tame, but because it's coming from
a worship artist
who has recently also announced that he is still making some worship music with different worship groups, it's kind of blurring the line a little bit for a lot of people. And so fans are upset and commenting saying, you know, what's going on? Why are you doing this? We're praying for you. So that's where he's at right now.
Do you think he could do both? Do you guys think like, and this is us talking not from like fans, but like understanding we have like insight in the industry. Do you think he could do both? Cause no one's ever done both.
So Marty, I am glad you brought this up. Cause when Emily and I were planning the episode, we talked about this story, which we've covered at Relevant. And I thought, let's bring this up with Marty on, because I know that Social Club obviously started in the Christian industry, but there probably are aspirations that are a little bit bigger than that one niche. And so I think this tension of how do you evolve, or how do you expand your content and your fan base is an interesting one for you, because like what Dante did, what I told Emily is like, I feel like if Dante had gone from worship gospel to like, I believe I can fly inspirational R&B, he would have found, that's what mainstream R&B fans would want from the gospel guy, is like kind of like art, you know, that level of stuff. Tori Kelly has done that, different things.
Yeah.
But like to go from worship gospel to like party twerking, like romance songs, is like, R&B fans don't want that from the gospel guy. And obviously gospel and worship fans are going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So who is this music for is my question.
That's a great question. Honestly, also like if you listen, like R&B has a trend the same way hip hop has a trend, pop, country, everything has a trend. R&B has been in an, you know, it's funny. I was just talking to my buddy Dare Mola, and he's in Miami, and he's working right now with Pink Sweats. And Pink Sweats is an R&B artist, and he's great. Is amazing, and he walked away from a huge deal so that he could pursue the type of music that he wants to do, because you know they wanted him to be more sexualized in what he did. So he was like, "Nah, I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want to do." You know, he's a believer as well. He goes to VU now in Miami. Anyway, I say that to say, like, you know, years ago, this is had to be 2014. We were gonna sign a Roc Nation. We just had signed a major label to Capitol, the label we were just on. And so when I was talking to a manager, this guy is great. And he was telling me about how he managed, for a little bit, Bruno Mars. And he was telling me Bruno Mars always wanted to end with the type of music that he's doing now, but he couldn't get there. He had to be a ballad and like earn people's, you know, trust to like literally hand walk him. And he was like, we have a 10-year plan for him to start going here, because no, the music's not here right now in this right section. It's over here with these like big ballads and hip hop. And he's like, watch. He's like, this next. And I remember it was like 24 Karat Gold was coming out. He's like, wait till 24 Karat Gold comes out. Then after that, he's going to be. So like some artists have a total plan to like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to evolve over time. So I could see that happening. But in my opinion, like R&B is becoming less sexualized and more soulful. Right. And so it's kind of weird that he would be more. I mean, I don't know. Dante knows probably better than I do the industry of R&B. But I feel like to be the artist you want to be, there is a certain type of like, you have to hold someone's hand and bring them on your musical journey. You can't just start there. Like, I agree with you, Cam. Like, if maybe in the middle there he was more inspirational, maybe even did a song with John Belly and people. It's about who you're connected to, right? Like, he could have done a song with John B and do it, and it could have been another song. But I'm looking at the album now. He's got Vic Mensa. I love Vic Mensa. He actually does have mainstream guys, but then, you know, next to the Vic Mensa song, he also has Glory to God. So I think it's, in my opinion, I think it's cool that he is trying to pursue both. I just don't think anyone's ever done that. And so the person who does that is usually the person who gets hurt. Like the person who breaks through the wall for everybody is the one who gets crapped on by everybody. So that also could be factoring in. Like the next person behind him will thrive and be able to do it. I don't know, man.
I don't. I mean, worship and gospel fans like hate secular.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Secular fans kind of, you know, it's like there's a no man's land right there. But I mean, I don't mean this as a judgment, but if you look at the plays numbers on the new album versus his previous music,
nobody wants this. They're like my numbers. I'm just kidding.
Shut up.
I'm just kidding. No, they're not. They're not. They're not in my numbers.
They're not. They're nowhere near your numbers.
Yeah. Well, you know, also the difference is, and we've had this conversation a lot because, you know, Social Code started out independent. And let me tell you something. As much as anybody, like, I see the numbers. That's one thing that nobody sees. Like, we all talk about artists without looking at numbers. Numbers really do matter. It tells you the consumption. It tells you our fans actually buy stuff, and our fans actually really do support what we do. So we're in a different place. Like I was telling this to Andy the other day, like our fans, even the Craze fans, like those fans who were a part of the generation of buying CDs, some of those people still do. They'll still buy our vinyl. They'll still buy a t-shirt. They'll still buy these new fans. 100%. They're a lot different. They're just going to listen to singles, you know. And then I also read a report last week that said that our generation, we're nostalgic with music. We're the ones consuming like Tears for Fears. We're the ones consuming like stuff from the 90s, still pumping the numbers up there more than we listen to new music. So it's an interesting time. I don't know how an artist would break out right now. I'm grateful to be coming out in 2014 when music industry was different, but coming out now, it's a lot different. It's a little bit more tough, I believe.
The other thing too, and I can only get myself in trouble, but who's gonna even care? All right,
libel laws, Jesse.
No, I guess what I'm saying is
I am gonna be liable for what you say on this show. So please,
all I'm saying is,
if you care anything about me, be careful right now.
I'm saying if people are legit concerned or whatever, go ahead, speak away. But let's also be careful, because I feel like there's a tendency sometimes for like the pearl clutching of like, oh my goodness, when I, like, a lot of the people who will publicly do that, look, I mean, all four of us on this podcast probably know people who are reasonably high profile figures who will kind of express outrage on social media for, like, you know, morality clout, when we've all probably hung out with those people behind the scenes, and they watch the same movies and TV shows we do and never say a word until it involves someone that they feel like they're going to get some attention for calling out. Look, if you feel compelled and convicted to address, you know, the private artistic decisions of someone, it's free country, man. Do whatever. But like, there is also a tendency sometimes to like express to manufacture outrage for the sake of manufacturing outrage when you can be like, ah, oh, that was questionable. I don't know if I would have done that. I don't know if I agree with that artistically. But behind the scenes, those same people that are a lot of times the loudest voices are watching the same movies and yeah. Netflix shows or whatever. And it's like, I guess that's my thing too, is like trying to cancel an artist for making an artistic decision that you may morally disagree with. I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like faith circles tend to eat their own in a way that is unhealthy. Like, one thing, if you want to say, look, I don't personally, that I wouldn't have done that, I don't think it's the right call, but I'm not going to try to burn the guy's career down. I think there's going to be a fine line there with sort of turning the knives inward. You know, does that make sense?
Dante is incredibly, incredibly talented. And unfortunately, people follow us and really do care about if we live this. And how we live it is different in the Bible Belt versus how we live it with people in like Florida and California and New York and like liberal versus Republican. Like, it's different. Like, what I think is not a problem, somebody in the Bible Belt might be like, this is bad.
Yeah.
Moving right along, an angel investor who helped support the film Sound of Freedom was arrested last week for child kidnapping.
That's the second one.
No.
It's the same one.
It's the same one. Okay, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. He's an early investor. He was a guy who helped get this movie, Sound of Freedom, big box office surprise hit. It's about trafficking, child kidnapping and trafficking. And it turns out one of the early investors just got arrested on felony charges of child kidnapping. Yes.
I will say his court date is set for later this month. So
innocent until proven guilty.
Innocent until proven guilty, legally.
Don't sue Relevant Podcast.
I want that. For libel reasons, we're putting that out there.
Thank you.
Obviously, this is a very serious allegation, though. And if true, just a really big hypocritical issue.
Yeah. But you know what? You know what's interesting to me? Like, just human nature. It's like, the if you zoom out and look at the most outspoken people, politicians, leaders who are against like gay marriage or other social issues, and then, you know, fast forward, it turns out, oh, that guy was gay. He hated the gay stuff because he was
projecting,
hating that about himself. And now this guy is supporting the anti-child trafficking thing because he was kidnapping children, allegedly. Can you tell that I've had meetings with lawyers over the last 2 weeks?
Definitely.
Walking on eggshells right now. So just FYI.
That's why two people are missing off this podcast, guys. If you're just paying attention, that's why two people are missing off this podcast.
Man,
that's why
I'm telling you, media and business is not fun.
I don't say bad things.
If you have aspirations to launch something, let me just tell you right now, don't, because your life will be very difficult and it's not your fault. Okay, anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah, so like we said, no court decision has been made yet. Obviously, this is something we're going to be following closely. Sound of Freedom has been huge this summer, and so just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
So,
is that movie good? Have you guys? I feel like I've had, maybe because I'm in California and you know there's no movie theaters playing it out here. Is it a big deal over there? And I feel like in Florida it would be a huge deal. I know people were taking employees to see the movie. What's that movie like? Is it a good movie? Is it bad? Is it fake controversy with like the whole thing of them shutting off the movie? Like, do you guys know anything about that?
I don't think the thing of them like there was like, oh, the AC was going out in theaters where the movie's playing, and like, you know,
yeah.
One, I think kind of there's a tendency in some sort of like circles to find things that they're like victimized about. I think the movie's been a big success, but I don't think I haven't found any validity to the fact that it's, you know, been sort of like shadow banned by theaters or anything like that. I mean, movie theaters want people to get
they don't have a morality. Like, they want money.
Yeah. Right? They're a corporate.
The film out-earned Mission Impossible. Okay,
wow.
Like, it's doing good.
Well, yeah, out-earned is different because out-earned means caught, like, gross, right?
No. Versus its ticket revenue was higher than the ticket revenue, not including costs, which if you included that, it would have been, like, a 10x or probably more than that.
So
probably
who's 100x. Making the money off it? Who's making the money off that movie?
Angel Studios,
who does The Chosen and a bunch of other
They're
stuff. Angel Studios.
Right now.
they're good in a good place, and I thank them for their advertising support of Relevant Magazine. Thank you very much. No, Angel Studios.
I think it's
amazing.
I think that it's hard. Most Christian things are really there's no. I did. I'll be honest with you. I did like Jesus Revolution. Outside of that Christian movie, I don't like any Christian movies, and I haven't seen this new movie, Sound of Freedom. But now I kind of want to see it.
I mean, it's Jim Caviezel who's Jesus.
That's in the Passion of the Christ.
Two for two, man. Two for two.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I brought up.
Mel Gibson.
A second. He's our AAA star that Jesse would go ride a train to see.
Double he's hitting baby.
Dingers. Haru.
Dingers.
Yeah, Haru. Hitting dingers. Akira, who's hitting dingers, and he's also a pitcher.
Sold out. Sold out doubleheader. Quite the night, guys. Quite the night. So we got Dippin' Dots. Right. Dippin' Dots like the big thing at that stadium. People, ice cream of the future. Still waiting on that. Future.
Can I tell you guys, I just performed
at one of those. They bring in a little baseball helmet. Go ahead. Sorry.
You know, I just performed at one of those like maybe 2 months ago. It was in Nashville. It was a trip. One of those being a like AAA game where it's so I performed and everybody left. They didn't know. I guess they must have. I don't know if they didn't advertise that there was a band performing. Like the team lost like 23-1. So like whoever stayed, like people were leaving. They were so upset. It was a home team. They lost. And so then we had to perform right after that. And people were so upset, eating their Dippin' Dots. Like our team is the worst. And you're right, Jesse. It's an ice cream helmet. And then there's like a hot dog.
Yeah,
and we're
great.
Just performing our little hearts out. I'm like, yeah, what's going on? And then I'm like, how y'all doing? And the guy's like, we lost. I'm like, okay, here we go. Like that's how I.
The problem is, so the Orlando Magic will have a faith and family night, but what they do is to promote the after or Latin night or any other night to promote the after game concert. That artist will perform a little teaser at halftime.
That's cool. So that would be cool. That would be great. That would have been great.
But there's no halftime in baseball. No. So you're, yeah, that's, oh man.
And there's
not even
a clock there. Like in like, you know, major leagues where there's a clock, we got to push this game forward. So we're waiting the whole time in the back, like falling asleep because we don't know when the game was going to end. It was a long game. We performed at like 11:30, you know?
You know what, Marty? You in the back not watching the game, falling asleep, is no different than everybody in the stands falling asleep because baseball is so boring. I'm just saying.
If you're at the Norfolk Tides get wild. Guys, I don't know if you guys see the Savannah Bananas. They're like the hottest thing in sports right now. So,
I've seen the Savannah Bananas.
Thank you.
Savannah Bananas?
Savannah Bananas are...
These guys go out and dance, and they have choreographed for
TV. Yeah. Real talk.
I see them on TikTok. That's right.
Okay, real talk. My wife and kids were traveling. They were Cameron, you saw them. They came to Florida, and they drove down there. I flew and met them.
I think I would see them.
Anyway, they drove from Virginia Beach to Florida, and they stopped in Savannah for the night. It's just like a halfway point. It's to get some dinner. And my wife saw that the Bananas were playing, and my son plays Little League. He loves it. So, and she's... just like everyone in the country has seen the TikTok videos of the Savannah Bananas. So she calls them, like, hey, I want a couple tickets. They're like, we're sold out for 7 months. They're like, what? They sell out. You cannot get a Savannah.
That's incredible.
Going to see the Savannah Bananas is like going to see Taylor Swift. Like, it is impossible to get
still,
to a banana.
Like $35,000 a year. No one's getting ad revenue from that. It's a mess.
No, listen. This is real talk. There is a legit aftermarket for Savannah Banana tickets because everyone has seen the TikTok videos and everyone passing through Savannah has the same thought. Hey, why don't we go to the Bananas game?
Why
those
not?
Videos look pretty fun. They're sold out for 7 months. You can't get a banana.
Also,
ticket.
You're stuck in a part of Georgia that in Savannah that has nothing else to do after 7 p.m. So might as well just
watch a banana ball. They play by their own
thing.
Rules. It's called banana ball.
Yeah.
Banana ball.
All right. What else do you have, Emily? What's the last thing?
Last thing I want to talk about is Switchfoot, who earlier this year, they released The Beautiful Letdown, our version, which was like the celebration of 20 years of their biggest album. And now they're releasing a deluxe version, which features new versions of their songs from a ton of artists. So they like have literally asked artists to cover their songs for the deluxe version, which is really interesting.
Like who?
One of them is John Bellion. We mentioned him earlier. He sang Meant to Live, which we actually have the clip right here.
Here's a clip of John Bellion's version of Meant to Live.
We were meant to live for so much more. Have we lost ourselves? Somewhere we live inside. Somewhere we live inside. We were meant to live for so much more. Have we lost ourselves? Somewhere we live inside.
And then there's a ton of other artists like Noah Gunderson, Reliant K, Ryan Tedder from One Republic, Colony House, Sleeping at Last, Jonas Brothers.
Sadly, it was the fourth Joe Bro, not the top three.
Frankie is doing his best. Yes,
the bonus Jonas.
If you guys watch the show,
the bonus Jonas is hosting Claim to Fame. Yeah. I literally
Frankie and Kevin.
Every time you see the light go on my face, it's me googling something.
Okay, or if you look up the show of the summer, it's a show called Claim to Fame. Frankie's the bonus.
That's
Jonas.
The fourth
Claim
one?
To Fame is. The best show on TV right now. I need everyone to watch it. It is a show that was like specifically manufactured for Emily Brown because it's hosted by the Jonas Brothers, the loves of my life. Yeah. And
well, hold on. The third least popular Jonas Brother and then the fourth Jonas Brother.
The top two Jonas Brothers do not appear. Kevin, he's a good man, okay? Let's be kind to him.
But he's the old weird one in the back. He's the tall, weird one.
Nothing wrong, okay? Justice for Kevin. Yeah. Anyways, we're not getting into this.
Okay, so it's hosted by which Kevin and Frankie. What are they all? They all look good looking. So what's the, who is the small one?
Nick.
Is that the fourth one?
The popular one. No, he's the good one. Yeah.
I want to take this photo. I'm going to throw it in here and maybe you guys can help me figure out which one's which.
Sure.
I can tell you their full names. I can tell you their government name. We have to talk about Claim to Fame though. Like I've been like how Jesse feels about Dick Van Dyke's story. This is how I feel about Claim to Fame. More people need to be aware of this. It's the best show on TV. It's a reality competition. Again, hosted by the Jonas Brothers. It's on
ABC.
It's on ABC. Okay.
It is legit, dude.
It's real.
And it is the entire...
Hosted by Angel Studios.
No, it's ABC. So it's like all of these contestants live in a house together, kind of Big Brother style. They perform challenges, but all of the contestants are related to a celebrity in some way. And the point of the show is you try to guess who the celebrity relative is. Mm. And they're like big names. Like it's like the celebrity roles are like Tom Hanks, Dolly Parton, Zendaya. Like there's a ton of...
Frank Stallone.
Like well-known.
Eddie Murphy. Tom Hanks. I watched that one.
Yeah. The show's still on right now. I'm personally convinced that Nick Cannon's brother is on the show. They reveal clues through challenges and you have to guess like who the celebrity relative is. If you get it wrong, you get sent home, all these things like that. It's the greatest show on TV because for these people who are truly in celebrities' lives, some of them know nothing about celebrities. One of the funniest things happened this week. People were convinced this guy was related to Elton John, even though the clue was that his celebrity relative was from Utah. So like a household of people were like, yeah, I think Elton John could be from Utah. That's hilarious. Okay. And these people were confident. So it's the best show. I need everyone to watch it so that it has a million seasons. Cameron Survivor has 75 seasons. So I think Claim to Fame deserves like 100.
Okay. 45, but not so, okay. Anyway, so the Marty, the guy on the left and the right of the photo that you sent us are the hosts of this show. Yeah.
Oh, so the far left, far right, the guys in the middle look like the better looking guys. So they're
correct. Okay. They don't need the money of this show because they're good looking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the ones on the end, one guy's no facial hair, so he don't know what he's doing. And then
that's
have the other
fourth
guy.
Joe Bro.
The bonus Jonas
is the one on
the
right.
And then the one on the far left is dressed like Ryan on that episode of The Office where they celebrate Diwali.
Okay, it was at Nick's wedding. I can tell you that Nick is married to Priyanka Chopra, a very famous Bollywood actress. And so yes, this is at
there's
their,
a reason why they're dressed.
The reason why she's dressed like the guy from I don't know. I mean, who am I talking to right now? I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, don't sue Relevant Podcast, please. That is Marty not knowing.
I don't even know who the girl is either that he's married to. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't a part of the Disney world. That's also a thing. Like
no, she's like 10 years older than him.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday my wife was watching that show with Steve Martin, and it's Murder in the
Apartment
in the Basement of something, and Hulu. Great. And I'm like, isn't who's this lady? Why is she famous? My wife's like,
Selena Gomez.
It's from Disney. Yeah, she's like, it's Disney.
You didn't know Selena Gomez? Come on, bud. Come on.
This isn't some obscure Mouseketeer here.
Oh my god!
I just didn't know why she was famous, right? Like,
so the person telling you who Selena Gomez was said she was from the Disney Channel? Dude, she's done so much since then.
Well, the thing is, she started at Disney and it created royal. She said Disney royalty.
Justin Timberlake.
Let's go.
Ryan Gosling, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears.
But they didn't have their own TV show. This girl, she had iCarly, right? Is that what it was?
Nope. Wizards of Waverly Place. iCarly was Nickelodeon.
Stand corrected. Hannah Montana. Yeah, anyway.
Hannah Montana?
Yeah, this is maybe the most painful conversation. Right? Like,
I'm sorry, Emily. This is like
Emily's
Disney royalty,
dying
though. It's
right
different.
Now. Parts of her Emily or her soul are just dying forever.
I'm literally seeing pieces of her heart just break off right now. She's just dying.
It started with Jonas and it ended with the...
I just want to know what it's like to live in a world where, like, I don't recognize Selena Gomez. Do you know what I mean? Like, the fact, like, what is it like to look at a picture of
the
Jonas
Brothers?
She just
looks like a human being. She looks like really well-crafted human being. Like her, like, she has, like, a very TV face, right? Like, her very TV face.
I mean, all of this is accurate.
A well-crafted human
being. Like,
a well-crafted TV, you know, TV people have, like, a perfect, like, jawline, and, like, they always look good on every angle. Like, not like us regular people. These people look like good all the time. So I'm like, I know
beautiful.
She's famous, but she also does she even drop music? Like, it's always a single every 10 years, I feel like.
Yeah, she's got some good music. She should get back into it.
She's after Justin Bieber broke her heart, she released
Justin Bieber because I do know about the Hailey Bieber stuff that obviously you guys have covered extensively over here, correct?
That is true. Yeah, because of Emily. That is true.
No, but
I know
like,
about
what?
That
What is it like to like look at a picture of a celebrity and not know who it is?
Well, also she looks different every time I see her. I feel like I'm like, is this the same person that I just saw? It's almost like Justin Bieber. Okay. Like his hair is short, his hair is long. I'm like, how do you grow hair in 3 months? That like, how does he have braids now? Like, how are these people be able to like manipulate themselves in such weird ways? Famous.
Well, okay. Oh, so to be said, to be fair, she suffers with several diseases. She had a kidney transplant, lupus, different things. So that's probably why her appearance changes quite a bit. Is medical challenges. So
okay.
Don't sue relevant. Okay.
Well,
there you
no,
go.
I'm
okay.
not even talking poorly about her. I'm just saying, like, famous people have, like, famous people will be, like, blonde one day. Dark, and I'm like, is this the same? She is twin? I don't know who she is. I don't know what's going on here.
There it is.
Fair
Wizards
point.
Of Waverly
Fair
Place
point.
Is all we're trying to say.
Yeah.
All right.
I live in that
That'll
reality.
That'll do
Emily.
It for. You know, I'm going to hit it, Jack. That'll do it for.
Relevant Buzz.
You guys hear about Dick Van Dyke?
I'm sorry.
Please check out.
I'm sorry. We're not talking about Old Please. Bay and spices, and you know. I'm sorry, Candace. We're not talking about spices and then Cracker Barrel.
Outback
you know.
Steakhouse.
Outback I'm Steakhouse
crying.
Knives and stuff.
That little golf tee game. Let's bring that back around. How about that?
All right. Here we go. Check out relevantmagazine.com every weekday, where we're covering a lot more of that stuff. Okay. Stay tuned. Up next, Derek Johnson from Jesus Culture joins us.
Gosh.
You're listening to Eli Smart. The song is Fiesta 99.9 FM. She was a chronic people pleaser with an unfulfilling career in Hollywood until she surprised everyone by joining a convent. Equal parts tell-all and rallying cry, Sister Monica Claire's memoir, A Change of Habit, reveals how much we stand to gain when we fully embrace our authentic selves. Sister Helen Prejean says it's, quote, for anyone who needs a little love, a little faith right now. A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun by Sister Monica Claire is available now wherever books are sold. Well, our guest today is Derek Johnson from Jesus Culture. They're one of our favorite longtime worship collectives and just dropped a new album. It's called Why Not Right Now. Derek sat down with us to share what the group's been up to over the last few years, their hope for the new album, and how they want to encourage a new generation of leaders to step into their faith. Here's our conversation with Derek Johnson.
excited to talk about the new Jesus Culture album. First off, so good. I love it.
Thank you so much.
It's the first album in, I believe, 3 years. So, if, I mean, this might be a big question, but what's been going on with the group for the last 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that happened. Ironically enough, we recorded the last project, The Church. It was like a two-part volume. We recorded that in December of 2019. And then obviously COVID happened in 2020. And even for just us as a ministry, we had some really huge things that happened in 2020. In March of 2020, we purchased a church building here in Sacramento and really started to plant. You know, we had been a mobile church for about 5 or 6 years at that point. But really started to put down some roots here in Sacramento with a permanent building. And then when the album came out, I think it came out in the summer of 2020. So I know for us, it was like the first time that we had released an album that we weren't kind of immediately getting to go out and just worship with people all across the world with those songs. And so the whole thing was such a crazy time. But I would say in the last few years, what's been really phenomenal is not only do we have that kind of, you know, home church get really, really planted here in Sacramento. We also sent a huge portion of our staff, about half of our staff in Sacramento that helped us lead and plant the church up here. They went down to San Diego and we planted a second church down there. And all of that kind of happened between, you know, 2020 through 2022, that all of that was getting up and off the ground. So even a lot of these songs are actually getting birthed out of both of those churches. There's something that was really, really special about having, you know, just a few years to kind of get in the trenches of local church even more. In 2019, I actually came on staff as the worship pastor here in Sacramento. So I've had the really amazing privilege of just helping build a worship culture here, and then getting to see that also happen down in San Diego. And once we kind of partnered that with what the Lord was speaking to us in our songwriting and how we just wanted to see certain things happen in worship right there in our congregation, we kind of went into this knowing, like, if there's life happening in our churches and in our congregations, it will most likely resonate with worshipers all over the world. So I think that's what's really cool. You know, there was definitely a few years of some silence on our end from releasing stuff as a group. But now that we've jumped back into it, we couldn't be more excited about, I mean, there's 14 songs on this project. And I think, like with most things, you lean into it and you go, well, we wrote the songs, we've prayed into it, we went to the night, we captured it. But you know, then it takes a few weeks or months after that to really have some reflection and listen back to it. But I honestly couldn't be more proud of these songs and just to see the way that they've really gained a whole life in our two churches at this point has been really phenomenal. So those churches have kept us pretty busy.
Yeah. I've been a part of a church plant before, and it's so hard to describe it to someone who's never been through it, because it's just every emotion possible. And it's exciting change, but it's a lot of change and a lot of work. But that's really cool. I think knowing that now I want to go back and listen to the album and kind of hear like that story being told. Because would you say there's like a common thread or idea that ties these specific songs together?
Yeah, I mean, there is. It's one of the reasons we kind of landed on the title, Why Not Right Now, which is like the title track of it. And I would just encourage anyone, if you want to kind of get the heartbeat of the album, jump in and listen through that song. Because even for us, you know, we're now, you know, a few decades into, you know, releasing worship music. And now we're two church plants in. And even with all of that, our heart hasn't shifted at all. And we really want to see revival in the earth. We want to see the church awaken to worship. And it's one of our passions. So every one of these songs is honestly an invitation into that. And I think it's what we love. It was something unique probably about this album, maybe different than other albums. There really was a lot of praise songs that came up in this album. And I think a lot of that just has had to do with, honestly, probably coming out of seasons like COVID, where it's just like we had to thank the Lord, we had to praise the Lord, just to see the different areas of breakthrough that happened, and even getting through seasons like that. I think as, you know, friendships deepen, church communities deepen when you walk through that stuff together. And, you know, the fruit of that has been just kind of a deepened cry for praise, a deepened cry for worship in the earth, just to see people wake up to that, to encounter God. And I think for all of us, too, we probably have this experience that what I love about worship is it's absolutely transformed my life, whether that was, you know, on a Sunday morning or on a commute to work, you know, just crying in the car, going down the highway, trying to, you know, drive as safely as possible. You know, God just has that amazing ability to kind of meet us wherever we're at. And so I think when we know that an album like this gets to reach people in all those different areas, whether people leading it at their church or they're listening to it on their way to work, what a privilege, what an honor to get to, you know, give that out as a gift to the Lord, but also to see people encounter God through it.
I'm trying to figure out. I hate to use the word compare, but I want to know, like, how do you feel like this album compares to previous Jesus Culture albums?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's interesting. You know, like I said, our heart has always really been the same. Even the first initial projects that started things up, it was like, how do we send worship back home with all these kids at a youth conference so that when they kind of, you know, the conference has this fiery, passionate weekend, but then you got to dive back into real life. You got to go back home. You got to go back to your campus. You got to navigate just the pressures of life. And so I think the same vein was in this, and maybe what was different. And again, we've had, you know, our church here in Sacramento for, we'll have a 9-year anniversary coming up in September. So we've been walking through shepherding a congregation in worship and through songwriting for several years now. That part's not necessarily new, but I think to see it happen in two different places, and probably one of the other things that's a little different is just some new voices on this project as well. And there's an element of that, as we invite people into the process, there's new songs, there's new creativity. And that part's been really exciting as well. One of the worship leaders on this project, Brett Miller, he's one of the worship pastors down in San Diego. And again, I kind of keep coming back to this, but I think the journey of having these songs come to life in the church is one of the things that feels really special and significant. For years, what people were actually hearing in our albums were songs that were coming to life in our conferences, which was equally special and so significant. I think even for this album, there's probably a maturity on it, on what we're inviting people into in worship, what we're calling people into. One of my songs on this record, which is, it's funny because it's very much like a you know, up-tempo kind of praise faith song, but it's called Faith For It. And I love that it has like all those parts that, you know, we've seen it really, like, I use this word intentionally, but we've seen it really work in church. Like, people really are connecting to the song. But obviously we're thinking way deeper than that. Like, there's something that song, even for my family and I, just captured a journey of faith that we were walking through with some health issues with our oldest daughter. I mean, that was like a real song of declaration of faith, that there are times in life where we really have to speak to mountains and believe that God's going to move them, that we have to honestly, you know, read the Bible as absolute truth, that when the Red Sea parts, that's the God of miracles who parts the Red Sea and sends them out of Egypt and into freedom. And so, like, these are these deeper concepts. I think that there's just probably another level of maturity on some of these songs, and just that invitation that when people would listen through songs like that, it's not just to sing another great song. It's literally to go, what are the areas in each one of our own lives? And this is probably where, like, the pastoral work of the church starts to show up in these songs. That's what we've been going after for months, even with a song like that in our church. What are the mountains in your life that you're asking the Lord to move, where you need to see the God who does impossible show up in your life and release that breakthrough? So I think the whole album has songs like that, that just have some real depth to them.
That was Derek Johnson. Make sure to check out Jesus Culture's brand new album, Why Not, right now. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's your feedback.
Each time I start to float away.
You're listening to Poolside. The song is Float Away. I did that on Sunday. Okay, it's time for your feedback. Last week, we asked you if you could text any person in human history, who would you text and what would you say? We asked this because there's a new app where you can, quote unquote, through AI, text Bible characters like Jesus and Moses and Peter and all that stuff. So we thought, who else would you want to text if you could have an actual conversation with them? You hit us up on Twitter X at Relevant Podcast and also on Threads and IG Stories. Here are some of our favorite replies.
It should really be X Twitter, right? Because it used
like
to be,
SpaceX. Yeah. I'm doing Twitter X. Gotcha. That's why I was doing it. Yeah,
fair enough.
Anyway, Twitter.
Justin said Vincent Van Gogh. Heard any good stories lately? He would text them. Well, if depending on what side of his face someone whispered it into his ear, I guess, Justin, then you get
heard. Oh.
He only has one ear.
It's a little old Van Gogh.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
I like John Bees. He said, if it was 30 years ago, I'd text the actress that played Winnie Cooper on The Wonder Years and shoot my shot. Then I'd tell Lincoln just to skip the theater that one night. And I like that he's got two texts to use, and he uses the first one to shoot his shot and the second one to save a president's life.
To save a life. Wow.
Yeah.
How to save a life. I would text Jimmy Hoffa and be like, where you at, bro? Where
you at, man? Did you see
the movie, the Scorsese movie?
Of course, you know me. I'm Italian. Yeah, it's part of my heritage.
I know it's quote unquote fiction. That felt plausible to me.
I read that book years before it was going to come out. And I mean, that's what the guy said. I mean, I don't know. But you know what? You know Michael Franchesi, the Christian guy. Have you guys ever had him on the podcast? Or magazine before, Michael Franchesi?
I don't think so.
So he's this Italian gangster. He went to prison, and then he literally left that life. He had hits on his head. He's Italian. He's Christian. Anyway, he was saying, he's like, nah, I think I feel like in a Vlad TV interview, he was like, nah, I know the guy. Like, I know the guy who killed him, and it wasn't him. So I don't know. Who knows, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah. People try to take credit, but I don't know. That book was amazing. I mean, the book is an actual really good book, though.
What do you think Ray Guevara is saying? He says, I don't want to say the name because I don't want to end up on some sort of watch list, but I would text him saying he was very good at art and that he should pursue that.
He's talking about Hitler.
Oh, God.
Oh, goodness.
There's this idea that because Hitler didn't get into art school, that's why that he killed pursued. Millions of people.
Oh, geez.
No.
There's an episode of Always Sunny. I think that you stop watching it. But
I also learned that in my Texas history public school education history class. That was something I was taught.
The Earhart one. Don't get on that plane,
please.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't ride with the top off, John F. Kennedy. How about this time you sit
put
it
the
out?
Top down.
I would be like Selena. Yeah. Someone's stealing. That's what I would text Selena. Someone's stealing.
J.R.R. Tolkien, this one is from Danny. Hey, bud, how do you feel about direct allegories? Go off. Listen, it worked out pretty well for Tolkien, Danny. I think the direct allegory thing seemed...
He's doing just fine.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Okay, it is time for this week's...
Editorial question of the week.
So earlier in the show, we were talking about the most stolen items at restaurants. The Outback knives, the little... golf tee game from Cracker Barrel. So we want to know be honest here. This is truth time. This is a safe space. The internet is a safe space. We want to know what's the most random thing you've stolen. Hit us up on Twitter X at Relevant Podcast. Hit us up on Threads at Relevant Magazine. and IG as well. And we will read our favorites on next week's show.
Is there a statute of limitations on?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Yep. 5 days.
I have a buddy of mine who stole Ronald McDonald from a McDonald's. So maybe I should get him to comment.
Has anyone stolen? The one from the bench? The bench one where he has his arm up with the screws,
brought it to high school. It was not heavy. He was holding it like it was a human with screws in his butt and holding around McDonald. That was funny.
Love it, Jesse. I know you've stolen things.
I thought about stealing that same because there was at Oral Roberts University where Cameron and I went. There was a prayer garden, which was just a garden area that had various statues. And one of the statues was Jesus, a life-size Jesus, sitting on a park bench.
Sitting on a bench.
Talking to children. And we planned numerous ways. At one point, a workman's jumpsuit was purchased from a thrift store. And the thought was, if we just went to the Walmart, because they had a McDonald's in the Walmart where they had the Ronald McDonald's with the armor
up.
And we're like, if we just, two of us went with a little toolbox and just started disassembling the, who would ask questions? If we looked very official, just walked off with him. Screwed that him into the bench so that Ronald McDonald had his hand around Jesus talking to the children. How easy. Unfortunately, we never ended up, plans that were that elaborate were often abandoned because of laziness and distraction.
That's awesome.
We often get past phase two.
I would have taken it.
Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Derek Johnson from Jesus Culture for joining us. Make sure to check out their brand new album, Why Not? Right now. It's really good. I like all those guys. Okay, a couple updates before we wrap things up. Make sure to check out the summer issue of Relevant. It's available now. Feature an amazing cover story with Lauren Daigle. We also have Drew Holcomb, Naomi Rain, Arizona, so many other artists, faith leaders, great stuff. You can find it by clicking the magazine tab over at relevantmagazine.com. Also, while you're there, make sure to check out Relevant Plus. It's the best way to experience our content. You get ad-free unlimited reading and ad-free version of this podcast, a beautifully designed, enhanced digital magazine 4 times a year and more. Check it all out. It's right there, the Relevant Plus tab at the website. Also, make sure to follow Relevant on all the socials. We're posting on all the platforms throughout the day with all the content that we're producing covering the intersection of faith, life, culture, and more. Okay. On that note, we'll wrap it. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Marty.
There it is. We will see you on Tuesday. Have a great
weekend,
everyone.
Marty, why am I here, Marty?
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
You guys hear about Dick Van Dyke?
Relevant Podcast Network.